Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Ooh, you caught me yawning, Jeff.
Already? And Tim Kalpakis?
What is up, tryptophan stylies?
Oh, yeah.
I am sleepy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's kind of a long weekend to laze around, huh?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It's been nice to do that. and it keeps on going. Two more days.
Oh, yeah. You guys watch the parade?
Yes, I do it every year, and I when Santa comes at the end, I scream at what I want at the TV.
I want a red suit like yours.
I want every new Nerf product that you didn't give me last year.
When I was a kid, I asked Santa for like, I was like, well, it's Santa, so it doesn't matter. And I asked him, because it was like during my Ninja Turtle phase, my long Ninja Turtle phase. And I asked for like 100 foot soldiers. It's like, he's Santa. He doesn't care.
May as well. You know, it's up to him to say no. You can ask for what you want.
That was the funny thing about like that or G.I. Joe's, like all the like foot soldiers, like the grunt work guys, you just got one of them.
Right.
Like, oh,
unless
here's
you were
one
Richie Rich.
Yeah.
I
but he,
remember
he does
thinking,
the work of 10 men.
When I was a kid writing a wish list, we didn't really do a Santa list for real, but when I did do it a couple of times, I remember it was the era when it was very like funny to be a precocious kid. So I remember purposely being like, one Corvette fully loaded, like trying to be funny so that my parents would be like, Tim, you asked for too much on your list.
Well, you're also secretly hoping like Santa will know I'm funny, so he'll be extra nice to me.
Yeah. Santa will give me a little slap on my bottom.
Okay.
What? Yes. I'm still hoping for that.
You may just get that, not from the big man.
Just
from two, it's medium.
For me, I'm coming out there. When I come out there, I'm going to get you.
I'm overdue for one spank. I wanted to mention this, the significance of Thanksgiving weekend. Everybody knows Thanksgiving Day, big hoopla, but there's a whole culture to the layabout weekend that follows. And a lot of people forget it's the anniversary of the Calpe cordial.
Yeah. No, we don't forget around here, Tim.
Oh, we don't.
It's the anniversary. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, invented in.
Yeah, do you say anniversary or birthday? I feel like they're interchangeable a lot. Like I remember when we hit 104 episodes on the pod, and I said sort of like happy birthday, and you were like, "Yep, happy anniversary," and I couldn't live it down.
Yeah, because with you're thinking the Calpe cordial was created that day. It was born that day.
It was born that day.
It was probably born earlier than that, but
I mean, I did launch it out of my pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Hey, the Tam O'Shanter, our beloved Tam O'Shanter, 100 years this year.
Ooh, that'll be good.
1922.
Yeah, Muzo and Frank was 100 years a couple years
2022.
Ago.
2022, yeah.
1922.
Oh, much like Gale Watch, 2022.
We do like some old-ass shit around here.
I can't believe Gale Watch 2022 is coming to a close. I wonder if 23 the budget will be cleared and we can get back to business with the Gale Watch.
This is big. To any newer listeners on the pod, we used to talk a lot about this pop star, Gail, because we liked her name. And she had the song ABCDEFU.
We got to bring that back.
Mike was doing Gail Watch. Then Gail canceled her fall tour because she announced like she needed to get her shit together. She's like, I'm a teenager and this is hard for me. I canceled my tour.
And yeah, she got a pimple.
I can't do it for a year on account of this major zit. No, did you hear the big news? She's opening for Taylor Swift on the Eras tour.
Yes, yes, I did hear that.
She just got some big news today, too. She's like, she got a Grammy nom or something, right?
That's big for her. Everyone else...
The Grammy noms came out?
The Taylor Swift openers are all super hip. It's like Muna and like, Haim, like King Princess or stuff like that. And then Gale.
I don't know who Muna or King Princess is, but I do know Gale.
Girl in Red maybe was on the list. It's all like, it's this very
I thought Haim was doing it too, right?
Yeah.
They're a big name.
Sure.
They seem like a too big a name, but like probably if... Taylor Swift's like, hey, you want to open? They're like, yeah, sure. We'll definitely.
They're also like part of the Taylor squad. Like they're in her videos and she did a song with them. And they're, it's a friend thing. It's a friend thing.
I wish you had told me that earlier because now I seem like a fucking buffoon.
Okay, we'll bleep that.
Hey, who's in our squad?
The three of us.
We need to put together a good squad.
Yeah, Mitch is in the squad. Anyone who's been a guest, we got Mitch, Fran, Gabrus,
Carl,
Tart.
Gabrus. Yeah.
That's good. You two. Me,
YouTube,
Neil. We use YouTube from time to time. We got Neil,
and then you know, like Hank Hill and Marge.
Yeah, and unfortunately Benedicto and that.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't always have to be positive additions to the squad.
No,
they can be the wild card.
Your squad's your squad, and that's that.
Our squad sucks.
Shit. I hope we don't hear from those guys. Or any guys like them anytime soon.
Yeah.
Any of the pairs of weird little guys. Yeah,
not into it.
They did have one I really liked that
yeah,
you brought.
Yeah, I remember that.
You brought in, Jeff. I like that one.
Oh, Seals and Crofts Jr.
Yeah.
Well, they have the pedigree, you got to imagine.
Right.
Yeah. I hate seeing nepotism like that in the industry. Ugh.
Well, it worked on Mike that time.
Yeah, it worked on me. Hey, you guys seen what's going on behind me here? This plant?
Plant, yeah.
It was
pixelated plant.
Oh, it was nice and bright green a couple days ago. All of a sudden, boom, dying.
Mm.
What happened? What changed? Not its watering routine, I'll tell you that much.
Maybe it was just not a fan of the stinky owner.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had it here. I'm going to kill myself. You guys are clear as a bell right now. I love it.
Love it. Hey, maybe a cold snap took out that plant. You ever think of that?
That could be. That could be.
Hmm. All right. Well, how about you want to get in a little booze news?
Please.
Bip, 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 bip. Booze news. Hit it.
Somebody out there who's a classical person, make a classical version of your booze news.
Front of the line pass.
D-G-B.
There's no soul in that type of music. You don't know
that shit.
There's
sucks.
No soul. There's no feeling.
I can't touch your heart because I don't have one of those.
That is the robot doing the classical music for you.
It's booze news, you classical guy.
The classic booze news was sent to us by T Chill Bop. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to the sloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
T Chill Bop, getting closer to what the request was. I don't know what that seemed. That seemed like computer music or like video game music.
It like sound like Sigur Rós or something to me.
Because yeah. Mike, you had solicited classical booze news themes, but then you said you didn't want them to have like breakbeats and stuff. You wanted them to just be actual classical compositions.
Like yes,
I love hearing us talk music. Us saying every good boy deserves fudge. Like that's how we talk in the studio. It's like what note is this, man?
But you know, at the same time, that was a very good. I got lost in that one a little bit.
It was moving.
Yeah. That was like Brian Eno.
Yes.
Mm. Oh yeah, big ship.
Yeah. Was it literally that?
No. But if you want to hear Big Ship, watch the classic Birthday Boy sketch on YouTube, The Veteran Cop and the Veteran Cop.
Oh, yes.
I always thought that was Moby. Did we use Moby for something?
Yes, God passing over the face of the water. That's at the end of Heat. Yeah. I love putting it in stuff, but I don't think... I think we put it in our live show a lot, but didn't make it to a vid.
Okay.
There's another song. God, there's another song.
Am I loud enough to you guys?
Yeah, you sound great. Yep.
Good.
You know that song that's like dung 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 dung
dung dung having a wonderful Christmas time. That one? Coming up, Joe.
The mood is right.
But you're right. You are right. I will. It's like that one. It's like, it's very British. And I think it's like the end of Train Spotting when like shit starts moving real fast. And it's like called like Nux World. I don't know. Ooh, never shit. Mind. I'm cutting this whole section.
No, keep Nux it.
World.
What's the booze news?
No, hold on. I had a memory. Am I not allowed to share?
No, you can.
Please.
I just remembered I was very beginning of freshman year. Don't know anyone, right? I've maybe just met my roommate and probably Eric Shiner as well. Anyway, I'm in my dorm, and through the wall, I hear that Moby song, God Passing Over the Face of the Waters. And, you know, you got to sometimes push yourself to make friends. You know, some people like it's very easy to make friends. But I remember freshman year, I'd have to sort of like, I should go talk to that guy, do that type of thing. It took a little bit of extra effort. You're in a new place. You don't know a lot of people. I remember hearing this song I liked through the wall, and I was like, this guy's door's closed. Maybe I'll knock on his door and I'll tell him I like that song.
I like that song.
Yeah, it's like day one of college. Maybe I'll become friends.
You got it.
So I knock on the door, and the guy goes, yeah? And I open it, and I was like, I see this, you know, fucking nerd sitting at his computer. And I'm like, hey, I'm Tim. I live next door. And he's like, oh, okay. And I was like, I love Heat. And he's like, what? And I was like, I love Heat. What?
I love AC. Get out of my room.
This song. I go, this song is from Heat. I love that movie. I love Michael Mann. And he was like, oh, I don't know. This is Moby. And it was also like not even, he didn't even love the song. It was just like playing.
Aww,
and I was like, on. Oh. I was like, okay. Well, I'm Tim. And he's like, I'm Alex. and it was like, I didn't, it's not like I got rejected because I immediately saw I didn't want to be friends with Alex.
You did the right thing and Alex is bad.
Alex missed out. He could have been fucking partying with Calpe. Could have been listening to Weezer in room 12.
And one day, strutting down the Sunset Strip.
Exactly. Yeah.
Conceivably.
It is funny in like college or high school, anytime you're going into a new situation and you like meet somebody and it's like, okay, we're eating lunch together, me and this person. Like, we're getting along. And then as your time in college or the new job or whatever starts to go forward and you're not friends with that person anymore and you're like, huh, that first day I ate lunch with them like they were going to be my best friend and then I learned more about them and we didn't match up friend-wise and I don't like that person very much.
I remember saying that when I went home for Thanksgiving the first semester of college, I remember telling my family, they're like, so, you got friends? How's it going? And I was like, I've got this group of friends and I like them and I guarantee they won't be my friends next year. It's just they live on my floor. And like one guy from that floor is still my friend, Eric Shiner. But like I was very aware that I made a bunch of temporary friends because I was like, these friends fucking suck, man. Alex?
Well, then you go home. You went home too. And Alex, you expect me to hang out with Alex, Dad?
I'm screaming at my dad. Guy, he's never even seen Heat.
You think I'm hanging out with Alex? I don't see you hanging with Alex. He's never seen all of Heat. I remember you going home to your mom told me about this in the first semester and you came in and she's like, who are your friends? You're like, they're okay. I haven't met Mike and Jeff yet, but
yeah,
what I have now is okay.
I was crying into her shoulder and she's like, don't worry, you'll meet your Mike and Jeff someday.
And I said, my brother, Jeff.
Okay, here, okay. I said, wait a second. Here's what'll happen. I'll meet Mike sophomore year at a table where you sign up to write for college TV shows. And then I'll meet Jeff junior year when I walk into his friend's dorm and I'm doing a Boston accent because I think it's funny because I'm drinking Sam Adams.
That was very funny, Tim. I remember
that was very funny.
Clearly. clear as a bell. You were like, I parked in a red lot. Because you used to not be able to park in red lots, and the whole idea was so fun to me.
Well, isn't it funny to think this is how art changes over the years? What's more hacky than doing a Boston accent now? But at the time, I was doing it based on like Boston-y people I had just met that were going to Ithaca. I thought I was creating a comedy character. Then Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey are doing it all over town all the time. Actually, they were probably doing it.
Maybe even before college.
Yeah. I mean, you go to Boston, you hear a lot of people talk like that.
Remember we went to Chicago, and this was like early on in the Birthday Boys, and I walked by a cop, like a big cop with a big mustache, and he was talking to his buddy, and he was like, what's a fucking Chicago accent? Yeah, we got to go over there and do this. I was like, oh my God, this guy talks about exactly like what the thing is. Good on you, sir. And he said, you better leave me alone.
You did not disappoint.
I ate lunch at Antoine's, old restaurant in New Orleans, Antoine's. And I sat down, I got lunch there by myself, and I was placing my order. I was getting like oysters, Rockefeller, and a bunch of old timey New Orleans food. And my waiter looked just like me, same age as me, looked exactly like me. But he was like, oh, what can I get you for your lunch? I was like, holy shit.
This is what I become if I move here.
You should have like each sort of envied the other's life and tried to switch places.
You'd be the prince and the bobber.
That'd be nice.
Well, here's the weird thing. I was like, well, you're just like me. What's your name? And he's like, I'm Cajun Calpe. How's it going?
Cajun Calpe.
You have a tough time with that first Cajun part there. I never did get the hang of it.
Your own name.
He hasn't met you yet, but his name is a modification on your name already.
I always wondered why my mama named me Cajun Calpe.
You go around introducing yourself as Normal Calpe, wondering what's so normal about
normal
it.
Normal Calpe? What is that supposed to mean? I don't know. Maybe I'll find out one day when I go to New Orleans.
You guys want to hear some booze news?
Please.
Yes, yes.
Well, I got a bit of a special segment here because Thanksgiving weekend, like it is right now, this is a time for friends, is it not? People you're close to, people that you love, and who are your closest friends? You know, the closest friends are the real ones, the friends who hold you accountable, the friends who call you out. The friends who love you enough to help you become the best version of yourself, even if it means being a little hard on you sometimes.
Right. The rider dies.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
Jeff hit the clip.
Oh, shit.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, something's going on here.
This is Neil Campbell, back with another edition of Campbell's Corrections.
Ooh.
This correction was actually sent in by Ian Campbell, so if you'd like to send in a correction, just make sure your last name is Campbell, and you can send it to me. Ian wanted me to offer a correction about the song Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell. It has been falsely claimed on the podcast that that song is about how, in the late 60s, a popular nightclub in Los Angeles was torn down and replaced with a parking lot. But Big Yellow Taxi was inspired by a trip Joni Mitchell took to Honolulu, where she stayed at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, the pink hotel mentioned in the lyrics. As Ms. Mitchell said, I took a taxi to the hotel, and when I woke up the next morning, I threw back the curtains and saw these beautiful green mountains in the distance. Then I looked down, and there was a parking lot as far as the eye could see, and it broke my heart. It seems like you guys might be getting that song confused with the song For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield, which people commonly think was written about the Vietnam War or even the Kent State shootings, which occurred 4 years later. In reality, that song was inspired by the Sunset Strip curfew riots and the forced closure of the Pandora's Box nightclub, a popular hangout for youngsters. All right, this has been another stirring edition of Campbell's Corrections.
So why did he laugh?
Man, we were held accountable.
Oh, guys, do you know how many times I have shared that fun fact?
Oh,
the Garden
my God,
of Allah.
Yes.
Falsely.
That's my number one fact.
Mm.
Okay. We don't have to freak out here. This is okay.
I'm freaking out.
We'll change the story next time we tell it. That's all.
Yeah, we caught this just in time.
I've been spreading misinformation left and right, and I wasn't getting it confused with For What It's Worth. I always knew that was about The Curfew on the Sunset Strip.
How does that song go? I can't think of that
something
one.
Happened in here. Oh yeah. That was just like a bunch of dumb fucking boomers. Boomers were like partying in the streets, and the cops told them to go home, and they were like, oh, "You can't tell us to do that." but the more interesting, the Royal Hawaiian guys. We've been there. We had blue Hawaiians
that's
there.
That's cool.
We were there with them.
That's very cool.
With the corrector himself. We were
there. She must have been not beachfront room. Eesh.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, facing the parking lot.
Yeah, that's... okay, Joni.
You take that up with the concierge.
Joni Baloney. Next time, have your management make sure they get you a nice room there. Well, you know what? It's not too bad if you're saying, like, oh, I've been telling people the wrong thing. It sounds like people... A lot of people think that anyway. You know what I mean? Like, that's a popular story. It's not like you misheard a story. You heard an incorrect story that everyone is telling.
Yeah, but why am I then sharing it without doing my own research and verifying it?
Oh, nobody. Half the things I say aren't researched.
Yeah.
I also want to say one other thing I haven't really looked into. There's this guy, Q, and he does these drops. They're very good.
That's pretty good.
Very good. Oh,
I've heard of this guy. We could start going this direction.
could be our kind of thing.
I like the Campbell's corrections coming in again. I spoke to contest winner Neil Campbell, and I said it was funny that, you know, he has the funny music on it, and he said he didn't put that in.
that just happened to be in the environment.
That was added by the by our editor in chief here of the Booze News.
Yeah.
Oh.
When you're the editor in chief, you have to sometimes add music to segments. I like this image of Neil as a fancy guy in his study, and it makes me happy to add a little sound music too.
Because Neil's playing a very studious character, and studious people without music, that's boring.
Also, our listeners are Gen Z kids. You have to stimulate them. Otherwise, they're right. Swiping to the next TikTok.
Right.
I know. I can't believe he goes over 15 seconds on these corrections and expects people to stick around. That was a minute long. At least kids are scrolled away.
Oh, my God. The scroll rate is crazy.
They want the next soda challenge, Neil. You got to keep it tight.
Yeah, they're flipping around their favorite podcast app. They're listening to Smartless right now.
Kids love Smartless. From Sloppy Boys to Smartless, they keep swiping.
It's the next one alphabetically, I assume.
Sure, and the ages of the hosts just go up and up and up.
Smartless. Now, I wish I had a pair of underwear that was shartless, but that has yet to be.
You don't
for
not
me.
Even one. You don't own one.
Nope. I mean, they're upon opening the package, yes, I own them for a brief.
Yeah, they go on clean.
It's so annoying how briefly they stay. Maybe that's where they call them briefs.
Yeah, it is.
Briefly, it's a shortening of briefly clean underwear. Until you wear them, these are squeaky.
That's good.
That's
good etymology behind the word briefs.
Eventually, they just drop the Lee clean and...
Briefly. Well, that's great that Neil sent those. I like that he keeps doing those.
He's good.
Yeah, me too. Keep him coming.
Contest winner.
He's holding us accountable.
Now, okay, yes, that's good. Good for the checks and balances. I got a little booze news myself. So yesterday at Thanksgiving, I was in charge of making the cocktails because, you know, when you come with... when everyone knows and everyone in the family knows you're a podcaster about cocktails, yeah, you don't get a day off even for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mixing, wake you up out of bed.
Hey, make me a Singamore sling. Singamore.
Singamore.
Pour me another one
of those Singamores. Anyway, I made the vieux carré.
Mm. Oh.
And because I really liked it.
Recency bias.
It was perfect for autumn, and it went over fantastically. People loved
it. It's very fancy. If people feel the... I'll tell you this. Here on the pod, we tend to like shaking our drinks, but Vieux Carré is a very nice stir drink around my house.
I made a big pitcher of it.
Ooh.
And then I had a... At first, I had like just an orange with like a peeler next to it. And like I had instructions like pour this, add the cherries here, and add the orange peel. But I was like, people don't know. So I like peeled a bunch of orange peels and like left them in a little dish.
That's great. Nice. You're like a real mixologist.
Yeah, I gave it a little stir every so often I passed by, and I left some ice out, and people did it up.
Mike, I like when you make a big pitcher like that. You, bartenders, they call that batching. You know, like you made a batch, so that you could walk around telling everyone, you know, I batched it. It's batched. Does anyone know a Vieux Carré? They're batched. You know, it's batched
over by the cocktail area.
Yeah, and
batched by me.
Sometimes people will be like, oh, I love that. I'm a batch bitch. Give me more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I go around. My great grandma's like, yeah, bitched by you. I was like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
What the fuck you say,
bitch? Step outside. I'm going to beat your ass with a drumstick. Give me that thing. Give me that
Save
thing,
the
Dad.
Drumstick for me. I'm going to beat Granny's ass.
Great Granny Lydia's ass. Turn the lights off. We're going to the...
And she's like,
going to the garage. Turn the lights off.
And then she's saying, spank me, daddy. And you're like, whoa. Yeah, no need to bring great granddad into this.
Whoa, Bebop, relax.
That's all fucked up.
I'm telling Rocksteady about this. Come on.
Well, that's what she did that to get in my head. And then she swiped my feet out and got the drumstick away from me.
She did the old sweep.
She ate it. I said, damn, dad, granny's moving quick. Rolling around in the garage by myself. She's already back inside eating dessert.
All right.
Yeah, she's knee deep in pumpkin pie.
I got fucked up.
All right, Mike, that's enough nonsense.
All right.
I'm curious to hear about the drink of the day.
Well, first you have to wrap up booze news.
Oh, sorry, I always forget. Okay, 2 seconds. All right, wrapped up.
Okay, the drink of the day. Brandy Old Fashioned Sweet you've had?
No.
Never had.
I have not had.
Have you heard?
I haven't even heard officially. No.
I've heard about it on this pod, but never before. Never more.
Just from you last week.
Great. Well, last year on the show we did at Thanksgiving, we did the Old Fashioned, and we thought,
did
this
we?
Pairs. Or was it 2 years ago?
Some Thanksgiving we did it, yeah.
Right. And Jeff, you were the one to say maybe we should have the tradition of old fashions. Mm. It's a very Thanksgiving-y cocktail.
Did I say that? Ooh, that's good. That's good.
It's very good. It's a warm holiday type of drink, but it's also stiff enough. You know, when you're eating all that, a big plate of food, it's hard to take down like a big creamy highball. Creamy highball.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
True.
Well, I think that like a nice light beer pairs very well with Thanksgiving dinner, but you can only fit one in your stomach. So
No. The real estate's too valuable in the stomach for a big old beer.
Maybe you have early in the day you have a Bud Light, but then when you're eating, you're having an old fashioned.
Have a Vieux Carré.
Stop. Actually, no, that's perfect.
Why?
Continue. So we said maybe different Thanksgivings, we can do different takes. There's many takes on the old fashioned. And the first one that came to mind is this drink that I've been wanting to do ever since we've started doing this podcast and interacting with drink fans. Because a while ago, I heard about this thing that none of us have experienced in real life. But there's something called the Wisconsin Supper Clubs. You've heard me kind of talk about this, right? And
Yes.
I had watched
Grasshoppers.
A lot of Midwest sloppers have turned us onto it. And I watched a little PBS documentary and some YouTube videos. There's all these places like the Buckhorn Supper Club and Ishnala and Layman's. And basically throughout Wisconsin, there's like 50 of them. They're these old, big old restaurants, family owned. And they have like you walk in and there's a big bar. And when you sit down at your table, they give you a little relish tray that's like a little bucket of carrots and radishes, you know, that type of thing. Lots of times they have a salad bar. In fact, the salad bar was first introduced at the Sky Club in Wisconsin. So that's a Wisconsin thing.
Like just the whole idea of a salad bar? That's
the
wild.
The very first salad bar was like relish trays were popular. And they're like, what if we have a table with ice where we can keep the stuff for the relish trays? And then that kind of became the salad bar phenomenon.
Wow. What around when do you think that would be?
This is like
60s.
Yeah, it's like mid 20th century. So I think these started in the 30s, but that type of thing was like a 50s, 60s innovation. And I think salad bars didn't really totally catch on until the 70s, 80s, maybe. The look of these restaurants is like big tables with families eating surf and turf, and they're talking and they're squawking, and you kind of walk around and check in with people you know. It's kind of a community vibe. And I think that you eat for like 2 hours. Friday nights, they have a fish fry. Saturday nights, they have a prime rib special.
Yeah.
And I think that like I've eventually got the vibe. I can picture it, but it is very frustrating to get an exact definition of what makes a Wisconsin supper club, because every interview in these documentaries, it's always like an owner being like, what makes a Wisconsin supper club? Well, first off, you gotta have great food. And then goes on to just describe what a restaurant is. And
other people will be like, waiters at a supper club. And
you sit at a table and you pay for dinner. That's a supper club.
I remember one of the things we talked about was that since it's Wisconsin, they have like the thriving dairy industry. And so you have all that ice cream for your grasshoppers and your desserts.
Right. Because their desserts are a lot of like, it'll be a big piled up ice cream sundae that's like a grasshopper is like the thin minty flavored one and stuff. Yeah. And I think there's long before local was cool, I think they're using a lot of like the cattle is local and
I imagine corn. They're not short on cheese either.
Locally sourced. I will not eat unless there's locally sourced meats and vegetables in the restaurant.
Mm. Wow.
Including Mickey D's. I will ask them if it's locally sourced. If they say no, I'm out the door.
Well, so you're always out the door.
Always out the door to McDonald's.
Well, yeah, it's local. It's from the next room over.
These restaurants, they're rustic. They're steakhousey kind of everybody. They're eating their food. They're talking, but what are they?
We're talking
drinking?
Like a smokehouse, Tam O'Shanter.
What do we got? I think like both of those are close because it's very steakhouse esque. Like a big family restaurant steakhouse. But we talked about what they're eating. But what are they drinking? Brandy Old Fashions.
And yeah, baby.
I love. We all love Old Fashions, and I think it's cool because there's like. Look, there's no shortage of like a pretentious waxy mustache old fashioned at a fancy bar, but I love seeing a quick and easy, cheapy old fashioned with a red cherry and normal ice and it fills the glass and it's, just normal old fashioned. And that's what these are like. And to the point where when you order an old, they don't use whiskey, they use brandy, which is made from grapes and it's sweeter. And when you order a brandy old fashioned at a supper club, they say sweet or sour. And the sour gets a little splash of sour mix.
Okay.
Ooh. And the sweet gets a little of Sprite, lemon, lime, soda.
Yes.
7-Up.
Yes. That's what we're doing. Okay. Because, I saw it referred to as the Brandy Old Fashioned Sweet. And there's also, I guess, the sour.
Brandy Old Fashioned Sour. This episode is called Brandy Old Fashioned Sweet. And perhaps next year we'll do Brandy Old Fashioned Sour.
Great. Cool.
And this is like, this drink is like, it really is what everybody's drinking. I've never had one, but it is obviously going to be very sweet because it's got the soda in it, not club soda. It's got sweetened 7-Up, but then it still has the sugar, and brandy is more sweet than whiskey. So we're talking about a pretty sweet drink. And I think that Midwestern old people tastes maybe is kind of sweet.
Okay. One thing I want to earmark just for when we talk about the ingredients. How is brandy different from cognac?
Great question.
Like, is it one of the square rectangle relationships where it's like not all brandies are cognacs, but
exactly
it's cognacs are brandies?
It's like tequila or champagne, where it's cognac is a distinction within brandy. It's all brandy, and it's basically a spirit that is made from grapes and then gets woody, and it gives you a buzz, and it's a Toy Story drink.
Great Toy Story drink.
Nice. But cognac just adheres to a higher standard, and it's French.
Okay. Because I did go out and buy some brandy today that I maybe didn't need to do. Could have used my cognac.
I did that. I'm excited, though. I I had some fancy Courvoisier, but I kind of wanted to have, I bought some like American, cheap American brandy, like E&J.
Yeah, what's it called? Like XO or, E&J. Yeah,
E&J.
That's what I got. And I went to the liquor store. I was like, what size brandy, like what's the your smallest brandy? And she like held one up. I was like, oh, I have that at home. Thank you. Never mind.
You lost the sale, bitch.
And she's like, get back here.
What are you making? Sorry. When does it go live?
And she's, you're like the copper tone girl. You're running out. She's pulling down your pants from the back.
Yeah.
Is white ass hanging out.
Yeah. Well, I think at the Wisconsin supper clubs, they're not using French cognac. I think it's, they're just pouring some American brandy.
Oh. Oh, also I want to say, Tim, before we, you know, you mentioned old fashions and how great they are and how ubiquitous they are.
Yep.
During COVID, I was making old fashions left and right.
Sure.
Because when I watch Sopranos, it makes me want a goddamn old fashioned. And you know, I don't make it with, I make it with good cherries and the big block ice, but I'm eyeballing it. I don't care too much. I'm doing Makers or Bullet or whatever, but I got the shit and I'm making them.
You're making them, dude. Now, have you watched Mad Men?
No, I know it's going to be even worse.
Well, it's like,
as far as like the drive to like, I need a cocktail while I watch this TV show.
And not just any cocktail. Don Draper drinks old fashions and there's an iconic scene where he's at a wedding and he sneaks off to a darkened bar and he makes an old fashioned while he's talking to Conrad Hilton.
Yes.
Whose great granddaughter was a little too promiscuous for my taste.
Tim, you swore you wouldn't make such jokes.
I'm trying to finish this story here. He makes this old fashioned and it's like, you could just feel it, like a lot of thought went into it. It's like an iconic scene and people are like creaming their jeans watching him make this. It's like watching Tucci make a fucking Negroni.
Spagliato with Prosecco in it.
No.
Stunning. Okay,
did you do the recipe yet, Tim? Because I got a big question about it.
Here it comes. The recipe is from liquor.com. Mm-hmm. Not an IBA drink. Here we go.
Liquor three is quicker. Okay.
3 dashes of Angostura bitters. 2 orange slices. 2 brandied maraschino cherries, 1 sugar cube, 2 ounces brandy, 7 up Sprite or club soda chilled to top.
Mm-hmm.
Garnish, brandied or maraschino cherry, brandied, interesting. Garnish, orange slice. And here are the steps. Add bitters, orange slices, cherries, and sugar cube to an old fashioned glass and muddle to combine. Yeah.
So this is more like what Draper was up to.
Yes. Add ice to fill glass, so you're not doing the one fancy cube. Then add brandy.
Ah.
And then here's the kicker. Top with 7 Up Sprite or club soda. Stir to chill. Garnish with a skewered cherry and an orange slice.
Wow.
What? So here's my question.
Oh, God.
So there's 2 orange slices in there already? And then you put a garnish as a slice? 2 orange slices, like thin slices, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking like soccer practice wedges. We're talking
When I first read it, that's what I was picturing. I was like, how big is this cup?
But Dan's going to fill the glass.
It's fun, to watch them. In this documentary I watched, like, you see a bartender making these fast, and he's like, orange slice, cherry, quick muddle. It's a down and dirty dry.
I have all the shit. I am so excited to do it. 2 specs. I'll say this. I got club soda, so I'll be the guy to report on that. I don't have Sprite or 7 Up.
I got Sprite.
Good to know.
I don't have a cube. I'm just going to do a little dash of shug.
Yeah, I don't have a cube.
That's the one thing I don't have,
This is going to be crazy, man.
Okay, cool. You want to get into it? I'm excited to sip and talk.
Me too.
Love it.
I've got a few things to tell you guys about, too, when we get back.
Oh, tell us off pod.
That's good. Coming up. Folks, we're going to go do the muddling and the stirring.
Mm-hmm.
And the stirring.
And we'll be right back here with Brandy Old Fashioned Sweets in hand.
Brandy makes you randy.
Ooh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. Brandy Old Fashioned Sweets in hand.
Hooey, look at that thing, huh? Beautiful.
Yeah. A lot of orange in there.
A lot of orange. Three orange slices, three cherries. Wow.
Yeah, I glazed over the cherry part there. That's two cherries mushed up in there. This is going to be a sweet-ass drink.
You know, mm-hmm. I've got a qualm with the muddling. Like, fucking, doesn't the brandy get sucked up into that fruit and we're losing some? I'm going to have to chew on my muddled orange pulp at the end to make sure I get all
That's
my brandy.
Okay.
Sure, yeah. You don't see me complaining.
I bet there's going to be some crunchy sugar down there as well.
Yeah. It's hard to muddle those like squeaky little wet fruit, huh?
Yeah.
Sliding around all over the place.
I was using the back of my knife and it was like they were getting away from me.
Mm. And didn't we learn about muddling? This was at least true for the something like the mint julep. You're not really supposed to mash it all. You're just supposed to give it a few taps just to kind of pop it open. For mint.
That's what they do at Wisconsin supper clubs. It's just a smash, smash.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like a grind them into a paste.
Well, I pulverized it.
Jeff, you love muddling. You're always so excited when you see muddle on the...
Because I have the little bat.
Yeah.
I feel like, batter up, it's Jeffy.
Batter up, bitch.
Now, all right, here Jeff we go. Squishes. Sips. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, look at all
Sipsies.
That. Sipsies. This is like an old punch.
This looks amazing.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're not coming back for one of these.
First reaction, I wish I did have some 7-Up or Sprite.
Mm.
I wouldn't mind a little sweet lemon lime.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm not really tasting the Sprite at all. It's all the booze and the sugar and the cherry stuff.
I'm not tasting Sprite, but I'm getting, it's a very sweet drink, but it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not cloying. It's like you're sitting around a Wisconsin supper club and you want a sweet drink. I don't give a fuck.
this is one of those ones where like I poured the Sprite in, but like my glass was already pretty full, so it was just like a very gentle pouring. So none of the bubbles even started to fizz. It's just like flat soda because it's so calm.
See, Mike, I like how you're saying my glass was already pretty full. Whereas Jeff would be like, my glass was actually pretty empty at the time.
My glass was empty and no one cared about me and everyone else gets stuff. But what? Jeff!
Everyone else gets stuff.
Why doesn't Jeff have anything? Why doesn't Jeff have anything? He's got it all.
He's got it all.
He's got it all.
He's got the two best co-hosts a guy could ever hope for.
He's got a family and a friend group that love him.
Sometimes what you've been looking for has been right in front of you the whole time.
Is that
right,
true?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Not for me. I want to create a Star Wars style franchise, but for other people, yeah.
I want a fucking Tesla.
Watch yourself.
Hey. When I've topped up, I felt like I was adding a lot of club soda, and now I'm wondering if my drink is not as good as yours.
I added a lot of
Sprite. There you go, Jeff. Mine's not as good as his.
compare and despair, Jeff.
He's got the thing that I want. You have a drink in your hand, do you not? Is it getting you drunk?
I do. It's good.
It's good, but it's not what he has. Here's my problem, man.
My problem is I chose my best looking old fashioned glass, which is like this, it was a Crown Royal giveaway, and it's a nice looking glass, but it's a double old fashioned glass, and I'm realizing
that's what I'm saying.
This glass is bigger than what I saw in the Supper Club documentary, and therefore I had to add a lot of 7-Up to top up. Side note, if you're an adult and you drink 7-Up, you're insane. Anyway, back to the topic at hand.
Wait, what did you use? You didn't use 7-Up or Sprite?
I did use 7-Up, yes. But I feel like on round two, I'm going to use a smaller old-fashioned glass that looks like what they did in the show.
Yeah. Great. I got to say, I have these kind of old-fashioned glasses, and they're a little small. I want a set of two thick old-fashioned glasses. Like real whiskey boys.
Doesn't it
Yeah, like heavy glass
nuts?
Bottom.
I just had this where... on our Vieux Carré episode, Jeff roasted my ass for having a faulty microphone cable. And I was like, sorry, I haven't bought a new microphone cable yet. And you're like, you're a professional podcaster. Order a new cable. Here's what you do. Now, the other day.
Jeff's microphone was working well that day. Yelling. It was wild.
He wasn't even peaking and he was screaming.
He's that good. He's good.
So I had basically maybe for 4 months had a crackly microphone cable and I didn't do anything about it. The other day I finally went on Amazon and I ordered a new cable, and I want to say round trip. I mean, I ordered this thing. It took 30 seconds and then it was one day delivery for free on Amazon and it was here. And I'm thinking about this when you say like, oh, I got to get those old fashioned glasses. Isn't it funny how a thing could just kick around? You're like, I got to do it. And When you finally do it, they're going to be $2 a piece.
Anything that's outside of your routine takes forever to begin.
Yeah.
I have a, I grind my teeth when I sleep. I'm sure I'm well documented on the pod about that.
Jeff, I'm with you.
And then, so I got on Amazon, and also fuck Amazon. It's a bummer that that's the solution to everybody's product problems. But I got the boil, you boil it in a... Mm-hmm. And then you make the depression on your teeth, and so it fits, and you trim it.
Yeah.
It took me months to order it. Now it's sitting on my shelf, unboiled, for another month. I'm gonna be a teeth grinder till the day I die.
That's the tooth mouth guard thing. The mouth guard thing is I have one too, and like a dentist made it for me and stuff. And I've worn that thing maybe like 5% of the time. Oof. It's always something I just fucking forget.
Wait, are you also, because you're gritting your teeth?
Uh-huh.
I do, so all three of us, I had this too, and I had to have like 3 appointments, my dentist made the thing, fitted the thing, and I never once wore it. Do you think that we're grinding our teeth in our sleep because we're so frustrated with each other?
No, my dentist, he said it was just one of you.
Oh,
you can tell that by he's like, oh, it's just on the left side.
He's like, you don't. You have a podcast with 2 co-hosts, or are there 3 of you? There's 3. Okay. This is coming from one of them. I said, well, which one? He said, I'm not a fucking fortune teller. I don't listen to your shit. But yeah, it is. I think teeth people with mouth guards, like I think almost everyone has one.
Yeah,
like you hear everyone just like, I don't wear it, but I have one.
Well, damn. I'm curious because I've got a large jaw, and my assumption is that I have a big jaw bone, but it's possible that it's just weird muscle head that has grown around from clenching my teeth while I sleep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow. Your chin is doing like a bow flex exercise while you're asleep.
Yeah, rise and grind.
Rise and grind. Yeah, go to bed and grind too, it seems.
Hey. Sigma grind set. That's good.
It's weird to go to bed and grind because I'm coming home from the club where I was just grinding out on the dance floor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you grind mm-hmm. at the office, you grind at the club, and then you grind it. So you grind all the day.
And between those, I'm scrolling through the Grindr app, seeing what's what. Uh-huh. I need some time away from grinding.
And your lunch is usually a Grindr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeff, you were talking about watching Sopranos and seeing what they got going on there. When they bring those fucking Italian subs into frame, whoo!
Yep.
I just about lose my mind.
Dude, I've been walking over to...
Preju.
I walk over to the East Side Market and get myself a number 9 or whatever. Oh,
Timmy,
shit.
That's my move. The number 9 at the East Side Market. I got it the other day. It's dynamite.
LA doesn't have a lot of that shit. Just a quick, easy, cheap Italian sub. So good.
You go up to the counter, they give it to you in 3 minutes, and they say, do you want it with, the oil and salt and pepper and oregano? And you say, yes, I want all the stuff.
Yes, you son of a bitch.
That's something I forget about when I make a sandwich myself at home. It's like, oh, which I don't do much anymore because of the bread and I'm on keto. But it's like, oh, yeah, salt and pepper. That's good.
Here's the other thing. Those little yellow, okay, they're not pepperoncinis. Those are the wrinkly
banana
ones.
Pepper.
Banana peppers. They're smooth. Yeah. They look like little pepperoncinis. But you bite the tips off them. Just the tip.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you squeeze, you dribble the juices all over the inside of the sandwich. It's like nature's ketchup packet or something, you know?
Yeah.
I like when you look back in the kitchen, you see the chef biting the end off and squeeze.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't let the chef do it. You do it yourself.
I'll do those out here.
Dude, when I was during the pandemic doing a Sopranos rewatch, happily getting fat because it didn't matter. I was eating making a lot of sandwiches at home, and I had a bottle of hoagie dressing.
Oh, nice.
Then spreading that out, that made it, the stuff I was making at home really tasted like a deli sub. It was so good.
Now, what is that? Is it like aioli, or is it like wine vinegar?
No, it's
clear or is it creamy?
It's a vinaigrette, but it's higher in the oil. Like if it was a salad dressing, it would be more vinegary. This is just mainly oil, a little bit of vinegar, and a lot of little floaties in there. And it's a brand you would know. It's not like Bomonte, maybe. It's like pickle brand and
Vlasic.
Yeah, maybe Bomonte.
Vlasic. Classic Vlasic. This is a damn good drink.
Damn good drink. Let's do another round
I guess like what? I want to talk about a supper club I was at recently.
Sure. You've been going to supper clubs?
About a month ago, I did a I mentioned I opened a couple shows for Kevin Nealon.
It was like Bull Run or something?
Bull Run, yeah. Up in Shirley, Massachusetts. I didn't know what to expect because it was pretty far off the beaten path. And we get there, and it's this really cool restaurant. They had like a lot of steaks and stuff and like surf and turf. And I was like, oh, okay, where's the show going to be here? The hostess walks me all the way back. And it's just this big banquet room with a bunch of round tables with people eating prime rib. And
great.
That type of stuff. I was like, wow, this will be interesting. I've never done this before.
So you perform where like Jessica Rabbit would perform.
No, that would be a different cool place. This was like where you would have a banquet for like any like a retirement party or end of a soccer season or something. But you go out on stage and like part of the act, I had to look around at people like, hey, what did you have tonight? The prime rib? And I kept going and then somebody else had like the chicken. And it was like the prime rib and the chicken on each side of the stage were like the two things I just kept calling back. Because I don't know if I've talked about this before, but the show, doing the shows with Kevin Nealon, his audience is a little older than what I'm used to, so my stuff didn't go terribly well. But this was probably the best one it did, and I had a good show, but it was all just relying on like, hey, like prime rib over here, right? Yeah. Over you. Prime rib, you talked about that before? Yeah, okay.
I always think it's, I've never really performed in a comedy club. We did a couple of shows, Birthday Boys, couple of sets at Laugh Factory, but it's so weird.
Yeah, they were a little weird.
We're used to performing in comedy theaters. To have the waitresses buzzing around and taking drink orders is really hard to tune out.
It's tough to create the fourth wall when there's that much activity and people aren't just like, we're sitting, silent, facing forward, disbelief suspended.
Yeah. Right, right, right. I think if I were to go to like a proper club, like comedy club, and like someone heckled me, I'd be like, I don't know what to fucking do here. This doesn't usually happen. Everyone's usually paid their $5 and wants to see a comedic premise.
Tom Arnold was booking a stand-up show at the Laugh Factory for a while, and he wanted to get some like young blood in there and some sketch stuff in there. So back in the day when we were hot on the scene, we did some birthday boy sets, but you saying the heckle thing, nobody heckled us. And in fact, those shows went really well for us, but
they were also like at 6 p.m. They were like a weird time.
There was a guy. You think 6 is the afternoon? I call that evening. There's a stand-up comedian who you would know who does this bit where he puts two fingers on his nose, on the bridge of his nose, and is like, oh my God, I'm so neurotic, and I talk like this, and then I put my head down, and like, I'm kind of like this, and then I put my head. Do you know this guy? He's like a 90s club guy.
Dang, I can't think.
And it's like, oh,
it's probably better we don't name him anyway, but keep going, Tim. I remember this story.
Well, I just remembered that, like, that Harris Whittle said that when we were doing our sketch on stage and doing well and getting laughs and stuff, but it was like, I mean, it was sketch comedy and we were naked and it was a whole thing, but that guy was in the back of the room being like, like just needing to be the boomer who
yeah, of course.
Ooh, it's any booze news theme makers, you could use that
sample.
Ooh, yeah, here's one for you.
But it's funny to just be like, the paying public didn't have a problem with us, but the old fucking fart who does stand up there is like,
yeah, oh, he's back there trying to gatekeep, hoping that people hear his scoffs and then join in, but nobody joined in. They left him hanging out to dry.
And do you know what I heard he's up to now?
What?
Dead. Die dead of bad comedy etiquette.
Goof. Damn. That's tough.
Well, rest in peace.
Hey, you know who was at one of those shows? Steve-O. And it was like he was just starting stand-up.
Yeah. And he was
nice. He's like touring. And so, yeah, he was. Yeah. And he was super nervous. He was like.
He was. And he did not do well. But I'm sure he's a lot better now.
I think he like tours and does big shows now.
Yeah. And that, like, I think he has really found himself as a podcaster. He's one of us. I think he just likes to talk to people about their experiences and stuff, and isn't so much like a get on stage and tell punchlines kind of funny guy. But Steve-O's great.
He's the Steve-O man.
Now, have you two, as Sloppy Boys, have you felt Steve-O had like the Belushi Farley thing of having a presence on screen that people expected you to be in real life? And Steve-O has talked about in his normal life, he thought, in the same way that like Johnny Knoxville carries around a mousetrap in case he has to snap somebody's balls, Steve-O built a persona on screen that then he enjoyed living up to in life, and that was part of his addiction and stuff. You guys are Sloppy Boys. You guys are a mythical proportions. You're a party rock band. You're podcasters who drink. Have you two felt pressure in real life to live up to your name?
This has crossed my path before, and it's happened before shows. You know, people will say like, "Hey, can I get you a drink? Can I get you a shot or something?"
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
I know the whole thing is like we're a party band, but I say, you know, I don't drink until I'm on stage. I like to stay. I like to start it up there. Like, yeah, I bring a beer or two with me.
But you know, me and Jeff like to get shithoused before the show. So
right. So somebody's got to keep track of what's going on.
Not shithoused per se.
No, I do like Jeff. But me and Jeff do like two drinks. You do zero before the show.
Right. Until I'm on stage and I have two beers with me. But that had to be a thing where I had to like, I'm always very nice to people ask, but a little bit of disappointment of like, well, that's what I thought you did.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I love it on just a civilian night when you're out at a bar in LA and someone sends over a scorpion bowl. That fucking rules.
Oh, that ripped.
Slopheads, if you're listening, talk to us, send us drinks. We fucking love it. Show night, yeah, you're keeping a little tally, but I mean, I love it when somebody gives me five Red Bull, a Fireball. 5 fireballs in a row and I go cross-eyed. It's fun.
And if you see me out and I'm saying something like, no, I've got an early morning, or I've got to, you know, really be on point tomorrow because something very important, I've got a job review, don't listen to me. Push those drinks on me.
Here's what, man, I love. When we're, if you're a bar owner or something, take note of this.
A boner?
With Sloppy Boys, we're in Chicago. We were playing a show at Subterranean. We go over to, what's that? It's like the Old Town Pub or the Old Town Ale House. It's like a bar that's
old
near Second
style.
City.
So yes.
Kind of an old Second City comedy hangout.
What the fuck
we
is
go
it
up
called?
To the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
We say, hey, we're in Chicago. Let's get some old styles and some malorts and stuff. And the bartender there, psh, no charge. He knows the Sloppy Boys. Bing, bang, boom. Then in that same city, I go to Three Dots and a Dash, the tiki bar, walk downstairs, say, hey, this is my kind of place. Walk up to the bar, order myself a Mai Tai. No charge. This is the town. They know the Sloppy
really?
Boys. This is a good town. And
yeah.
That's the Midwest for you. Speaking of Wisconsin supper clubs, fucking... These people know the good shit.
Speaking of good shit, I might do a second one. I don't usually go in for that sort of thing.
I need to make a second one because I don't think that my proportions were right.
I'm doing.
I
want to
get a good
glass.
Read on this one. Yeah, smaller
glass. I've
got glass.
So much crap in this glass still. I'm just going to add to this.
Yeah. Hey.
You'd
be
you
right
have
to
eat
do
those.
So.
I ate my orange pulp and it was very brandy soaked. So you might want to do that.
Eat your pulp.
Nice. Eat your pulp. Chew it. All right, folks, we'll be right back after this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back with round two. Check out this little IKEA glass.
Oh,
it's a little more
nice.
Like
there you
it.
Go.
I'm it's hoping like the proportions thimble. Work out.
Check me out. I have a smaller. No, this is the Crown Royal glass. So the other one was a Courvoisier glass. This looks pretty perfect. Small.
Nice. Same glass for me. Same thing.
Sips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Yep.
Still missing the 7-Up Sprite, though, I got to say.
This smaller glass is great because I still put a splash of 7-Up, but I don't have a big glugger of, you know, sweet soda.
Right.
Mm. Those maraschino cherries soaked in that syrup. Come on.
Yeah. I wish it's I had. I wish I had some more of the filthies, Tim, that you got me.
I wish I had some filthies. That could be a song.
Tim, I don't like that song.
Okay, sorry. You don't like
Tim,
Bad
your
Abbot?
Version is great. Your version is great. I don't like that.
I'm better than Steve Lacy?
yep.
Jeff,
but here's the thing.
I can't believe you don't like that song. What the fuck?
No shit.
I think the melodies are bad.
He drunk.
I think he's that's like it's a bad outsider artist-esque song that doesn't work for me. It's like a Daniel Johnson-esque a stab at making rock music.
If you're judging it against other like bedroom pop songs, I get you, but you don't think that that's cool that that's at the top of the charts?
No, I think it's bad.
you think it's bad for music?
Yeah, it's not just that part. That part is actually melodically like less offensive to me. The verse is just like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Steve Lacy.
No.
Save that for the Patreon.
Anyway, this I'm using full on Luxardo cherries on this, 3 per drink.
Yeah.
So this drink is costing me like, this is like, even in my own home, this is like a $7 cocktail.
In my own home.
And do you put that into the tip jar when you make yourself one?
In my own home?
Yeah.
Cherries are so good that we make such a fuss on this show about how we all love Luxardo fancy cherries, but then also just the cheapy maraschinos, what I'm having right now, are just as delicious. Like, they're different, but it's...
Yeah,
great.
I would beg to differ.
You ask
you
yourself, am I in the mood for a bright red or a dark red?
Yeah.
At the Fable in Eagle Rock at Lil Mookie B's birthday, I was having these. I had old fashions there, and they did similar to this little glass filled to the top with ice. And that's, I don't know why. I don't like the look of an old fashioned. It's just like the big cube and then the tiny dribble in the
just
bottom.
Just the one cube, yeah.
Really?
I wanted. I like a small glasses filled to the
Tim,
top
I'm gonna make
ice.
You one.
You like clinkers.
No, I'm gonna make you one at the J Man's house.
Well, Jeff, do you have anything you want to ask us particularly about this drink?
Yeah, I was gonna ask. What are your final thoughts on a drink like
Order
this?
Order again.
Again.
That's it.
Yeah, me too. This falls short of a Stone Cold Classic for me because I don't think I've nailed it personally, even though I'm doing this to specs, liquor.com.
Yeah.
Jeff, I would say go a little heavy on the sugar or a splash of simple syrup if you have. And I don't know, if you have a squeeze of lime, you could turn your club soda into homemade Sprite.
Yeah, I think you're right. Very good. The move is maybe I was just a little too... If I had a sugar cube, I would have nailed it. And I think I guesstimated a little light on the sugar. An honest mistake.
That warm behind the ears feeling really sneaks up with it. It sneaks up to you on this one.
Sure.
Because you feel like you're drinking a soda, an orange soda, and all of a sudden, your ears are warm.
Like, this isn't slice. Tim, your thoughts, your final feelings?
Order again. I love it. It's sweet, but it's knowingly so. It's called a brandy old-fashioned sweet. So order this when you're in the mood for a sweet drink. As opposed to some drinks we do on the show where it's just like, oh, the measurements off, or like, you know, this is delicious when you want a sweet drink. I love it. I would love when the Sloppy Boys finally tour the Midwest outside of just Chicago. I would love it if we could stop at the fucking Sky Club or Buckhorn Supper Club and eat a big fat prime rib.
For hours and hours.
We imagine us pre-show. Relish tray, salad bar, surf and turf, 10 or 20 good. Brandy old-fashioned sweets, and then we roll up to the show like...
Pre and post show.
I think the BPM of our songs might suffer if we do that.
Lyrically as well.
Speaking of the Midwest, our best post show meal, me and Hanford, after a Chicago show, went over to Pequod's Pizza, got a pizza and a pitcher of Old Style and just fucking went to town at midnight.
We got something else too. Like, we had a lot of food in front of us. We got an app too that was... And I think we finished that little...
What a delight when a town where the kitchens are open late, you know? Not just the bars, but it's midnight and you can still order food. Oh.
And not just the Taco Bell test kitchen. So these are real restaurants.
Chefs putting in late hours.
Now, guys, I'm going to a nice cocktail place tomorrow. I'm going to Maison Primaire.
Oh, my God.
The first house.
That's the first house.
The first house. I've been there before. It's very good. And I need to think up, you know, every time we're on the show and we have a cocktail and I'm like, oh, I'll wait till a pro can make me one of those. I gotta figure that out and do that tomorrow and have a,
oh,
a pro
I
make
say-
one of our drinks.
Oh, you want one that maybe you made wrong and you want a pro to make it right. Because I was going to say Vie Carré would be perfect.
Oh, yes, that would be good.
But you already like those.
Their martinis over there are very good. There's something called the Casablanca that I saw on the menu that I might go for. But I'll report back.
That sounds great. I ate at Musso and Frank last week, and I had a stinger, which was sweet but delicious. And that's an old cocktail, classic cocktail. It's not on the IBA list, but Mike, you mentioned it once on the show. Have you heard of stingers?
I mentioned it? I don't remember.
Yeah, you said...
Maybe I mentioned it as a joke.
Yeah, you mentioned it as a joke, but you said it. You were like... In an old episode, we were talking about the... Austin Powers bar in Glendale, and we were saying it would be funny if you just treated that as your everyday watering hole, and you were like, "Mini me set me up with a stinger."
Damn, I do come up with some good stuff on this podcast every so often.
Well, I had when you said it, I was like quietly off mic. What the fuck's a stinger?
What the fuck's this guy talking about? He doesn't know what the
next
fuck
thing I know. I'm eating dinner with my in-laws at fucking Musso and Frank. I say, "Give me a stinger." I look it up. It's Richard Nixon's favorite drink.
Oh, no comment. No comment. Yeah.
I also had a Ramos Fizz, which was delicious, and some other weird fucking thing. Musso and Frank has all the weirdies. Another one, guys. We got to do an episode about the fucking Venice Room in Monterey Park,
yes.
California. Yeah.
Yeah, Let's do that when I go out. Go
amazing
back out
dive bar where you cook your own steak, and then the cocktail recipe is from 1982. Recipe? Menu?
No, we've done that before. We said episode last time, too.
Yeah, what the fuck? We've done that.
You know, it would be earlier I was talking about the Chicago cop who talked like this. Tim, you going out to dinner with the in-laws and eating or having three cocktails is also like, yeah, that's what people do, I guess.
I
do the in-laws
that
are here. I need three stiff drinks. Keep them coming.
Every time we usually go to the Arroyo Chop House in Pasadena, and then for special occasions we'll go to Musso and Frank. But it's always the same thing where I do all kind of my cordial chatting in the first third of the meal. Because I'm well aware that I'm going to get fucking tanked. And then by the end of the meal, I'm just sort of like receded back into the leather booth. Like,
sure, sure. And then mid-meal, you're like, can't talk, mouth full. Yeah. That's a good excuse.
I also...
Jessica, you take it from here. I told all my stories.
I pulled a real Calpy move where I always order a ribeye steak. And, you know, I tend to get like a wedge salad and a ribeye. And then...
One of your 30 of the year.
We were at Musso, and I was like, you know what? I'm getting the lobster thermidor. And they were like,
wow.
You're getting the lobster thermidor. And then,
just keep it down. I don't know if I'm going to.
It was the buzz around the booth. And then the waiter took everyone's order, ended on me, and he was like, sir, what'd you have? And I said, ribeye medium rare. And everybody said, he chickened out. He chickened out of the lobster thermidor.
Correct under pressure.
You know what? I like doing that purposefully when having dinner with people and be like, oh, what are you going to get? And saying what I'm going to get. And then when it comes around to me, switching it up. And they go, you didn't get the thing. I go, I know. I don't want to be crazy.
It was a little joke for me on you.
It just gives us something to talk about. There's nothing ever to talk about.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And hey, if you want more boys, check out patreon.com/thesloppyboys, where you can join up for a measly $5 a month and double your episodes every week. That's the Sloppy Boys Blowout, where we talk about the stuff we really care about. Like this week, we determined best song.
Yeah.
Ooh, you don't want to miss that one, folks.
Guys, the holidays are coming up. Gift it to somebody. Say, hey, I know you don't know the Sloppy Boys, but I know you. And I think you might enjoy the lifestyle of music and cocktails and enjoying yourself. So you gift a subscription to people.
That's good. You say, hey, a friend of mine, I know you like the Sloppy Boys. I see you're at the $5 Patreon tier. I'm going to bump you up to 10. Me too.
Yeah. And maybe you're not a fan of this show. Maybe you're not a fan of the show. Shit. But your partner is a fan.
Hey, there's the fucking exit. How about that?
And you're the patient partner of a big Sloppy Boys fan, but they're not on the Patreon. You turn to them and say, "Babe, I know I'm not the biggest fan of you listening to those guys all the time, but this time of year, I'm going to give you a little something. I'm going to double up your joy in life and get you on the blowout.
Yeah, yeah. You say to your partner, I'm going to give you a little something-something. And they go, oral? And you go, no, even better.
No, oral, A-U-R-A, in the form of... the Sloppy Boys blowout.
Hey, okay. And if and say you don't want to give your partner or friends oral, A-U-R-L, pleasure, you could also get them the pleasure of clothing. We got the web stores up and running.
Yes, the pleasure of clothing.
And Jeff, you did a very funny thing where the sloppyboys.com, we have the store up, there's t-shirts, and then the Pay Pig shirt is more expensive than the other shirts. So if you
it's in the name. It's the Pay Pig $100 tee.
Yes. Do that. So let's say that you are wifey and you want to turn on hubby for Christmas. You put on the sexy teddy and you come out of the bedroom and you say, ooh, I've subscribed you.
Well, I'll say this. We also have a lot of female listeners whose husbands are sloppy teetotalers. They abstain.
So there's plenty of non-drinking slop heads. I love it. Makes me happy.
You know what we need to put in the fucking store? I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about the old-fashioned glasses. Sloppy Boys old-fashioned glasses sets.
Mm. Oh.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yep.
We'd have to figure out what to do. What?
One day.
Hey, folks, we'll work on keeping the price down, but I'm saying this now, it's going to be expensive.
Folks, you work hard for your money. So
start saving now.
Spend it. Put a dollar a day away, and then if you
get a jar and put our faces on it.
Let me tell you something, to you millennials. You fucking millennials spend all your money on your lattes and your iPhone. But if you saved your money, you could get Sloppy Boys merch.
You can get some merch for the... You get some glassware that you'll never be able to put in your home because you can't afford one. You'll never have a home. You'll never own.
Hey, speaking
folks,
of cool
glassware... never
going
to own.
You guys, you talk about cool glassware as if you're not about to see some right now. Booge, look at that.
Oh, shit.
That's cool, man.
Okay, first of all, it's a glass that looks like a can. It's got the little lip on the top.
We should sell those, too.
Utica Club Pilsner Lager Beer. I got this at the brewery in Utica, New York.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm wearing a Hams Beer t-shirt.
Damn.
Yep. Oh, well, that's good. Ham. That's good. All right. Well, why don't we meet up here the same time next week?
Sure.
And folks listening, maybe bring a friend next time.
Yeah. And don't forget to rank and report.
Oh, yes.